regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry by the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, any fresh roads. Call me private label, I'll be leaving.
Oh yeah, welcome to the bonus episode of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Folks, I am uber excited to bring you my guest today. But before we get into that, let's talk about our sponsors of the show. All right, right off the bat, Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all. 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Source all the stuff you can yourself, and everything that you can't, go check out Heaven's Harvest. And like I said, they're going to knock off 10% right now. Redemption Shield. All right, y'all, this is one of my favorite sponsors, and I'm just going to hold something up. If you're watching the video version of it, right here, this mat, it's a grounding mat. And as I do every podcast, I am grounded all the way up from the feet up. And all that's through Redemption Shield, so I can stay grounded as often as I can. If you can't get out there, if you live in a place like my next guest, or you live in a place where it is right now, where it's actually going to get up to freezing today. So, yeah, if you can't get outside or you don't want to, Redemption Shield, get all your grounding, shielding, all that good stuff over there. And the promo code PERMA will get you 10% off as always. Let's not forget about EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, I've been a journeyman electrician for well over two decades, and I'm telling you, nobody out there provides a better service or guarantee than EMP Shield. So go over there, use promo code PERMA, and they'll knock off $50. Here's another cool thing, y'all. They offer a guarantee. Your number one threat, believe it or not, is not necessarily an EMP, but when you put this on your house, your number one threat, believe it or not, is lightning. So let's say lightning were to somehow miraculously get past the EMP shield and Kentucky fry all your electronics. Guess what? They're going to cover you for 25 G's. That's what I'm talking about. EMP shield. Be sure to go check out Chef Snow. We got his link down below. And finally, the TexasBoys.com. Go get all of your stuff squared away over there. So without further ado, y'all, I want to bring on this guest, and those of you that are in the live audience are probably almost certainly going to have the opportunity to ask a question to my next guest. He is an absolute hero in my space. Honestly, he has saved me thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars with his online courses, and I had the great pleasure of meeting him this last summer, he and his son, and to actually see what he's done with my own two eyes and actually have an audience with him was honestly one of the treats in my whole time being in this space. Recently, I went through his latest online course, and up until now, I've purchased every course he's ever had. I recently went through what I think is his magnum opus, and folks, it knocked my junk into my watch pocket. That's how well done it was. So as soon as I got through it, I was like on pins and needles, like, oh, I got to reach out to him. But I'm like, no, wait and finish. So I finished the pruning part of it. And you saw me yesterday, if you're watching on YouTube, you saw me do a small snippet of what I learned out of his video. I mean, things that absolutely make your life easier. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on my friend, my mentor, the great Stefan Sipkowiak. How you doing?
Fantastic, Billy. Great to hear that. Thank you. That's always good to hear. I've heard it many times. And I know that, you know, when you've done things for a while, you just done things. I was watching, I looked at on X, Mr. Beast, for those who are familiar with YouTube. He had just posted his first video on X, first on X. And I thought, you know, it's interesting. I was just reflecting on learning. And I thought, you know what? I learn a lot from that guy. And he's like 26 or 27 years old. But I realized, you know what? Age doesn't matter. It's how long you've been doing something. That's what matters. So he's been doing YouTube way longer than I have. And I thought, you know what? If you learn from somebody who's really on their game, don't look at their age anything else, just listen and just learn and watch. And fortunately, something like pruning, it's been 30 years I've been pruning, but I didn't start off knowing anything about pruning. In fact, I had to kind of learn on the fly as I went along. And I looked in the orchard at my trees. I don't remember. I don't know if you went, Billy. We went to the back of the orchard where there was just a bit left of the old orchard. And there's so many trees have great big gaping holes in them because I didn't even know how to make a cut. So I would take the chainsaw and just run it down the trunk and cut them like flush along the trunk. And it was basically removing the branch collar. And you know what the results are? A bunch of trees died, obviously, because you can't just have this non-sealed cut. It will eventually rot and it makes holes. There is a few that are still live that way. But that's where I started. I didn't know anything. I took courses with the Ministry of Agriculture. They had people who were training orchardists and so on. And we were really fortunate to get, in 2009, to get the two best guys in the world training about orcharding and pruning. And we did a one-week course. And it was just absolutely transformative. Like, I had, by that point, I had been pruning about 15 years, I guess. No, not even 10 years. And when they'd walk through an orchard and they would point out things. And I remember one place we went, it was a third generation orchard. I mean, this isn't newbies, you know, these guys have been doing it. Their grandparents started and then their parents, and they were doing orcharding, big operation. And the guy just walked into that orchard. He didn't care. I mean, he just looked and he says, "What a pile of shit here. Like, what have you guys done? Like, this is a disaster in here." Everybody went quiet. Everybody just kind of looked around and thinking, this is third generation orcharding. And these guys are calling them out like, you really blew it in this orchard. So the guy said, "Yeah, we did. We put it in a little, it's too low. We got frosted. The first 2 years got frosted. So the trees grew way too big because there was no fruit to slow them down," and explaining. And yeah, and we chose the wrong rootstock combination. And I thought, you know what? It made me feel so much better that me being a newbie and like learning on the fly and knowing that these guys doing it for third generation can be called out. And I thought, you know what? It gives hope to all of us. And from then on, it was like, look, whatever these guys say, just listen. I mean, they've been doing it. And the guy who started, Dr. Lespinasse, he started, and to show you, when I say, you know, how long you've been learning, in 1980, he started a project because in France, you mind if I go this kind of long route?
Go any way you like, yeah.
So he had been telling the story about in France, the cost of labor had gone up. You know, France has got all the social programs, so you got to pay for it somehow. So you need to be paid more. And it became to the point where you cannot pay for a farm laborer to prune, because it just didn't make an economic sense. It was taking way too long. So he did an 8-year basically study of, started with apple trees. And what he would do is they would plant a tree. He would sit down, and he had certain trees. He'd sit down and he would sketch the tree. I don't know if you've ever drawn or sketched, like sketch exactly what you see. It requires a level of attention that, if you've never done it, I just say try it, because you've never paid attention to the level you have unless you have actually drawn something. So he would draw that branch or the whole tree, the branch, and then just the section of a branch, like part of a branch. So he had to pay attention to, and he did this for 8 years. So you can imagine this tree's growing, gets bigger. And this was an unpruned tree. He was just taking them and let's observe what the tree does naturally. That was his approach. And he found basically all these things that I teach about, because the tree has done it. We mess with it. But he's found, here's the principles, here's how it works. And wow, it was like he's absolutely changed to the point where following his techniques, you should be able to go from what you had learned in the past to going now. You should reduce your pruning by 80%, your time. I always say that you don't make money with maintenance. Like, pruning is a maintenance. The only people who make money doing maintenance are the people who offer a service of maintaining, you know, landscapers, and they make that's, and you have to realize that if they are doing your maintenance, they have no incentive to know how to do that maintenance that much quicker because they're paid for their time. They can bill because there's like, well, it takes me an hour and a half to prune this tree. Okay. You know, I could look at that tree and go, well, just take those two branches out there this year. Next year, I can kind of see which ones. Take those two out. Make two cuts. Takes you 5 minutes. Clear the branches out and that's it. You're done. But they're paid to do maintenance. So their incentive is to take a long time. And so that was really the thing. When I learned that in 2009, it was in March. So we went to the course. So I still had time in that season. So I went through, and because the season was advanced, I usually start in January and then more in February and March, I try to finish up pruning. That's here. And I went through the orchard, but I thought, you know, I've got maybe 2 weeks left now because the season's advanced. So I looked at the orchard and I thought, okay, I'm going to apply his technique and force myself to just limit to two cuts per tree. That's it. Like, I can mess with a branch, you know, on the end of a branch, I can prune down there, but I only can do two cuts. And that forced me to look at the tree at the essence and just the only things that will actually move the needle in 3 years. And so what I did was I looked at the tree, and if, you know, the trunk is my trunk, and you have these branches. So I'd have branches like this and branches like this and branches like this. So the first year I went through and I got rid of those branches that were really up in the air. Because Dr. Lespinasse would always say, do you want a tree or do you want fruit? And he was always pointing out that importance. And, you know, people could stop right now. And if you had something to do, stop there. Just remember that. And that will absolutely transform your pruning. Because you go, well, why? Well, it's hormones. If your branch is like this, it is absolutely angled so that that branch is getting a hormonal signal that says, grow, you're a tree. You're shaped like a tree. Grow, grow branches, 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 branches. That's it. But as that tree, and that's what he did when he studied, he said, you don't want to prune until the tree is bearing fruit. In the beginning, you want to train. Why? Because the branches can be like this, and then they have some fruit, so they come down because the weight of the fruit. And the second year, third year, now you want that branch to go. And once the branch is below horizontal in apples and in most fruit except pears, once that branch is below horizontal, now the only hormones going into that branch, the auxins, signal fruit, 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 fruit. Don't do branches. You don't need to grow branches. You're just growing fruit. And so what he would say, you know, do you want a tree? That will give you tree. That will give you branches. That will give you growth that you probably will end up having to prune off. Or do you want fruit? And so you can let the weight of the branches go down. And I've got a whole block that I don't prune because I want to see how much does it do that. And it really depends on the tree and it depends on the fruit load and how much it goes down on its own. Or you can take those branches and just prune them. I saw some of your videos from this fall when you're going through, and that's it. You get that branch from there and you get it to here, because then that branch goes, oh, I had a big load. Oh, I'm just going to produce auxins and I'm just going to, and you'll see that year. And I've got so many branches that were suckers, absolute suckers, like right up in the air, you know, like this. And I would take them and just crack them, just break them right down. And as long as they had half the bark holding here, they would heal over. And so you'd get this branch that was like this, that was usually long, cracked. Now it's a completely downward branch because it was just hanging basically. And in 2 years, it completely transformed. Everything, the buds are just fruiting buds. And the third year, it's just this column of fruit. And so I went through the orchard looking for two, and all I did was the first year I took those out. That's it. So once those are gone, what's next? So the next year I came back, I had branches like this. So you just do an up and down, look at the trunk. Okay, these two are the most vertical. That's the most vertical. Okay, I take them out. Because in the meantime, where I cut the big ones, you get new branches coming out and you can train them right away. You can then train them. So that's a big, you know, it's vigorous because it had usually a branch is attached to a root. It's not this branch feeds. No, it doesn't feed all the roots. We know it. We've dyed branches and a branch is a root. And so that one's in a good spot. You know, maybe the sheep were sleeping under that tree and really left the load, and that root found, hey, this is good soil, and grew vigorously. So if you cut it now, that root is still alive because you're cutting it dormant. I mean, when I see people doing a lot of cutting in the summer, I kind of go, well, it depends what you want to do, because
So you teach it, if you want to slow it down, then right, exactly how to go about it.
Exactly. So if your tree is already very vigorous and producing a lot, but even in the summer, like I do all the training in the summer, just because the branches are so much more flexible and you break less branch. You'll always break branches training because, you know, you don't know in the beginning, you don't know how much can I bend it. It's there. Well, you could probably get it to here. If you go further, it'll crack and it'll like break, not just crack, break. And if you did in the winter, like if I tried today, it was minus 14 this morning, which is actually almost zero. Minus 18 is zero. So if I tried an apple tree in this temperature, forget it. You go from there and you go, and it just snaps. It breaks off. So do it in the summer, train them. And it went from, in 3 years, I had a lot of branches like this. Second year, a lot like that. And the third year, all I had left was this and new branches, which I trained. And in 3 years, I mean, the transformation became like, I haven't pruned that orchard block in 2 years. And it's like, yeah, I really don't need to, because nothing goes crazy. I've had experienced people come through and it's like, geez, your trees, one guy said, your trees are so calmed down. Like nothing's going crazy. Crazy means, I remember seeing trees people had pruned, and the next year, I call it hair on a dog. You know, when a dog is really upset and all the hair is standing up on its back. It's like, that's what people get. You don't know. And often the reaction is, oh, I just get it. Why? Because I was pruning. No. You got it because you pruned the branch that was like this to start with. And you did a lot of pruning. All the reactions absolutely will be hair on a dog, because that branch is getting the signal, just grow, grow. You're a tree, grow branches. So you'll get lots of branches. Then you go, geez, I have to come back and cut all of it. No, don't cut. I say that's where you get suckered in. Don't cut suckers. If you're cutting suckers, you're the sucker. I mean, it's as simple as that. But it's a learning process, and you do it. And I mean, if I have to cut a sucker, that's because I just missed it. Like I missed it for 2 years and it's really too big. But I'll first try, and I'll, you know, even a big branch, I'll just try and crack it. And when they taught us that, how to tame branch, they call it taming branches, I was like, oh my God, that is incredible. Like that is such a good technique. And yeah, you'll have to do a video. I only have the video of training branches in the course, because it is such a, like, it's such a great technique. And long story short, I ended up getting an orchard that's so much less work now. It's like, I don't even have to do it, but I do it just as almost like therapy now. But once you set up your trees, and the longer they live, the better, because now you've got a tree that you've trained. You know, that expression, train up a child when he is, train up a child, and even when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Well, the same goes for trees. And the more I see it, you know, the Bible's full of examples. He's like a tree firmly planted, like a tree, like a, because we are like, you know, the lessons you learn with trees apply to lessons in life. And so it's kind of, it's like, wow, oh, that makes so much sense. And I'm just really getting going and learning. There's still so much to learn about it, but at least learning pruning and understanding. And what I find is if you can focus on learning why and understanding why, you have that predictive ability. I like to say, you know, you want to make a cut and know what's going to be the reaction here in 3 years. Like in the pruning course, I'll put pieces of branches. I'll say, here, I cut. And this is the reaction I'll get. I know I'll get that. Like, it's not, I don't know. No, I know what I'm going to get because I've seen it and I've done it. So this is what will happen. But the more you get that, and I say, if you're pruning, you'll really feel confident after a 3 year cycle. Because whatever you prune this year will grow. It won't produce next year, but it will grow a branch. That branch will grow in its second year, will grow some structures, and in the third year, it will flower. So if you're pruning and you prune for 3 years, now you see the reaction of everything you did in the first year, what happened, and when it produces. So after three cycles, applying these techniques, not just pruning and I don't know why, but applying, then you'll understand really, like there's levels I understand. Now, do you understand or did you just hear it? Because you hear a lot. Like if somebody's watching this, they hear and they go, oh, okay, that's good. Okay. And you know, you just know at the base level because you heard, but you're going on trusting what I'm saying or what you say in your videos. That's one level. But you really know that you know when you take something, you apply it, you do it, and you go through a level. Now you know that you know. Like now you don't care what people say because it's like, okay, go ahead, you know. I'm sure you've seen all kinds of comments in your videos. And you have to just shrug it off because you realize people are on a learning curve. They'll comment and it's okay because they know what they've lived. Like often they've watched or heard something and that's what they know and they've applied. And unfortunately, especially in pruning, there's so much misinformation, especially on YouTube. Like I cringe when I watch quite a few videos and it's like, oh man, you know, that's not helping people because it's old information. Like there's a lot in books. You could probably scrap 75% of what's in books and so on because it's based on old information. We just didn't know. But what happens is you get that telephone effect. How do people who write books learn? Well, they read what other people say and then they repackage it and regurgitate it. Unfortunately, in pruning, there is an evolution. If it's in your yard, I mean, let me paraphrase this. If it's in your yard and for you, this is your therapy. And I understand because I love going out. Today's sunny. I love going out on a sunny day in the winter where there's snow and I'm pruning. It's like, this is great. You're getting your vitamin D in the sun and it reflects off the snow in our climate. And it's like, by March, people will say, wow, you've been down south. I say, yes, southern Quebec. Because I get so much of the, like now I'm pale. I haven't been out. Like I look like you, Billy, in March because that sun really is magnified. It's like if you spend a lot of time on the water. I mean, you will absolutely get more than just tan. You'll get the reflection. So it's therapy. And if that's what you're looking for, then don't even bother learning techniques that will save you time. Like you could, but like why apply it? Because you want to take a long time. But if you want to set up, and to me, all of that is really to set up your tree. Like you can plant a tree, train it for 3 years, the first 3 or 4 years, 5 years, even if it's a standard tree, train those branches, get them calmed down while they're young, while they're easy to bend. You set your tree up so that when it starts to flower, those branches are just going to basically set down a little more. And if you have the right number, you know, 12 branches and your tree is set for life. It won't be sending out shoots all over the place because it's like, I'm good. Every branch gets light. I'm good. And that's it. And it's like, no, you have to prune. And I used to teach that, yes, if you prune, you have to prune. But actually now, having done it, I've learned that even a tree that you have pruned, and pruned badly, I have to admit, most cases, the trees, they're, you know, they're not pruned using these techniques. So even if you've pruned, you can take that tree and transform it in 3 years. Even with big branches, you can change that tree around. I have a neighbor that I did his tree, a big, big apple tree. Like, it was 20 feet high, you know, big, big branches. And it was me and Sebastian, my apprentice at the time. And we went in, and it took us about an hour and a half. It was like, it was a big tree. And it was really just because you had to climb. We brought our ladder and all, but you had to climb and get at branches. And when we left it, it was like, wow, that tree, the shape of it, you have to be able to look, and the winter is great because you see the skeleton, you see the framework. And we were able to take all the things that would be long-term maintenance off while leaving a lot of big, good, really good big branches, and just cleaning them up underneath and doing the, you know, the third step, which is the polishing. And I asked the guy the next year, I said, hey, how did the tree work out? He was like, oh my God, don't talk to me about that tree. I was like, why? He said, there were two apples deep everywhere. We couldn't go under it. It was just so loaded with apples. We couldn't even walk. We couldn't put the tractor. It was so much work. To him, it was the work of so many apples to maintain. Because by doing that and trying to limit, if you do a big cut, realize, you know, you want to cut no more than 30% or a third of the volume, not the number of branches, of branches out. But now you're leaving 60% that is fruiting. You might leave one, if you need, you might leave one or two branches that aren't fruiting yet that are just going to be in place. But if you leave what is already fruiting, now the energy is going to go. And even branches that had lost roots that had lost the big branch, they're still coming. That energy still, and it's like, hey, where's that branch? So they, you know, I call it the hand principle. They'll spread that energy out there, and you'll, if you need to, it will go into a new branch. So anyway, it's exciting because I've done it. Like, I've seen it, I've learned it, I've applied it, I've done it, and I've seen what it does. I had a person comment to me, they said, do you think this technique applies to fig trees? So I went back to the book, his book, and it's chapter by chapter. Oh, here it is. Here's the French version.
Seems like a pretty heavy book. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good book, but it's okay. Chapter by chapter. So here's hazelnuts, and, you know, so it goes chapter by chapter. So I went back to fig trees, and I had to look up, and yeah, you can. It applies to fig, and fig are so much more flexible. And so this guy had asked me, he said, do you think, I said, and I looked, and it will apply to fig trees. So he says he was a renter at a house where his landlady had this giant old fig tree. So, and he was just wanted to try this because he had learned some of it, and now he wants to apply it. So he asked the landlady, he said, go ahead. It's been here for like 50 years and it hasn't been touched. So he went through and he pruned it, leaving, you know, branches below horizontal, because there was a lot. And when a tree is that old, like, the branches are weighed down. And he took all the young, aggressive branches out and left just was fruiting. And he said the landlady told him, in all those years, she says, I've never seen this fig tree produce like this. It is just wild. And so even if you have a tree, an old tree, a neglected tree, and you take it and you apply this, you go, man, in the 1 year, you can get such a change, and it just gets better because now you've got those, and now they got light, and now they got the energy. And so, yeah, it's exciting to see, Billy, how you're applying these things and your trees. And because they're young, you'll see you are setting them up right.
Well, the truth of it is, I'll be honest with you. It's funny to hear your journey. I've heard, you know, I've had the benefit of being able to hear it before, and I'm like, exactly every step of the way, every mistake a person can make. The thing that was so frustrating to me, and I know that it is a massive frustration for a number of others out there, is that whenever I go through another training course before yours, it was always this intuitive thing where, oh, I'm going to take this one off. There's never no why, no what for, no systematic approach, because I would walk, you know, you get done with it and you're like, okay, now what do I do? Because the tree I have does not look like the one you demonstrated on. And then when I first came across your work with the permaculture orchard, it was like, good night. I mean, immediately I watched that video. I'm not exaggerating when I say over 10 times in a row. I mean, over, not at one time, but I watched it over and over and over until I memorized everything that was in it. And I was like, okay, well, I'm living at a place. I've got plenty of land out here.
You're talking this one, the film.
Yes, the film. Yeah. The first one that came out, that was my introduction to your work. And I'm like, number one, I've got to meet this guy. But at the time, I was still working on my tools as an electrician. So I was like, okay, when am I ever going to get my chance to go up to Canada? And is he going to give me an audience? You know, so I'm like, okay, with what I have here, let me go ahead and do it on the place I have. And the results were astonishing, even back then. And then since that time, when you came out with a virtual tour of your place, which is absolutely fantastic, folks, you want to see that. And then you had your other pruning course, and I'm like, okay, you added additional information, I guess, as you learned it. And then over and over and over again, yeah, I've made some colossal mistakes along the way, but what I've learned from you, and this is why the cost of things, you know, we know the price of everything and the value of nothing when you get down to brass tacks. And I'm like, I took and basically an audit of all the people I learned from, whether it was you, Joel Salatin, Elaine Ingham, Jeff Lawton, you name it. And I'm like, okay, now coming down to dollars and cents, which really in the grand scheme of things really doesn't mean a whole lot to me. I'm like, how much money did I save? Well, just going on yours alone. First of all, that permaculture video was next to nothing. And it is dwarfed by what you produce in your latest work. And it's so fun. You put it in bite-sized increments where I didn't have to, like in the permaculture orchard video, I had to watch it over and over and over. And then I broke it down into sections over and over and over again. And then in your latest course, it is absolutely awesome because it could be a person at lunch and or at a break. And you break every single thing down and add way more than was in that video in bite-sized pieces that you could easily consume during a lunch break. That you could easily assume. I mean, it took no time at all to get through, but it was way more powerful because you have quizzes at the end that aren't gotcha questions or anything like that. It just reinforces what you know. And then the final test, it is absolutely fun with a crossword puzzle to go through all of this, answer the questions, and you're like, okay, not only is it fun, I am learning this stuff. And you hit it so many different ways where the critical things are expressed. And it's like the way we were taught in the military, where they break it down to where it's just the essential stuff you need. And then it's reinforced later. And somehow, some way in a course, and folks, I get nothing out of telling you this, but it is probably the best online course that I've ever done. And you've heard me talk about a number of them out there. As soon as I was done with this thing, I had texted him immediately. I'm like, hey, you got to come on the show and tell everybody about this. So to come full circle with this, it was like a light opened from up above when I came across your work, because there was no systematic approach to doing any of this. And then when I found it, I'm like, okay, in the land and the other properties I own, I'm like, okay, there's some from way back where I've started this, and the results were astonishing. I'm realizing that, oh, if I do this right, good night. The maintenance on this, because I run a whole farm, just orcharding is only a part of it. Well, it had opened up so much opportunity for me to start other enterprises, and I can't thank you enough for your work. So, you know, Stephen, let's maybe get into your course and what it offers. I'm looking at it right now. The pruning course is the only one I went through, and you're basically, and this is why I'm calling it something of a magnum opus, is, I mean, right from the beginning, the demystifying permaculture is, you know, block number one, number two, concepts and ideas, observation course, which is absolutely unbelievably profound. There's a soil course, which I can't wait to sink into that because I've already learned. I thought I had a decent understanding of soils, and I'm realizing I'm a bloody novice when I look at your work. The magic model, selecting your site, every single thing that would get a person off and running. And like you started in that pruning course, you got the quick and dirty right off the bat. Okay, you watch that, and you have a gigantic overview of how this thing unfolds. I'm sorry to monologue as long as this, but I am absolutely excited out there, excited about what you put out there. And I'm telling you, folks, I'm not going to do a whole lot of pruning instruction online because you're getting it from Tito when you really ought to be getting it from Michael Jackson over there. You dig what I'm saying? So don't get it from a secondhand guy like me. I'm just basically chronicling what I'm learning from him when it comes to this stuff. So actually, I'm pointing in the wrong direction. Yeah, that way. So I got to be honest with you, Stephen. It was absolutely jaw-dropping, the amount of information in there, how easily it sticks. If you need to go back and re-reference it, it is absolutely superbly done. And I got to give you a hat tip. How can folks, before we kind of get you to kind of do a little bit of an overview of what's in this course, I know folks are going to want to go check it out right now. Where do they go? I love how you broke it down. You can buy the whole course, which is obviously the best value in my judgment, or you can buy individual courses. Where do they go to do all this?
Yeah, permaculture.study. You're right. I say I'm a terrible farmer, and it's true, because a farmer, I say, it's got three things. You know what you need to do, you know when you need to do it, and then you do it. So I got the first two. I know when I need to do things, and I know what I need to do, but to actually the doing it is the one that I'm lacking. But my strength has always been really teaching. I mean, I've taught elementary groups. I've taught teenagers. I've taught junior college. I've taught university for 8 years. And it gives you when you see, different levels, I've taught workshops, on three continents and I don't know how many countries. And it's not like you refine teaching by teaching. Like you teach something, you see how did people get it? Did they get it? Are they, you go by the questions. Oh, I guess they didn't get it. And it's like you say, between like the film and the challenge with the film. And like you say, this is like, I think you can get it for $10. It's the biggest steal. I think this one's at permacultureorchard.com. And the tricky thing was trying to get all of this into 2 hours. Like we even cut the whole part on soil because we couldn't fit it all in. So it was getting, and like you say, I've had people comment, say, hey, you didn't talk about that. And I'm like, I thought I talked about that. So I'd go back and yeah, I mentioned it. And it was like three sentences. So yes, I talked about it, but to try to get all of that into a 2 hours, like it's usually between a 2 and a 3 day course that I teach about the permaculture orchard I've taught. And so how do you pack that into just 2 hours now? So it's really, SOPs all the way, right? This is a standing operating procedure for this, for that, for this, and step by step and go through it. Because I really like people to have something they can leave with and go, oh, I can do that. I can do that. I can apply that. And the bite size is exactly that. It was now with the masterclass at permaculture.study, it was, let me give you all of it, but in a piece. If you're in a hurry, yeah. You know what? And that was my son's doing, really. He said, look, we have to do it in, if you've got a break at work, 15-minute break, you can watch a lot of videos. A lot of them are 10 minutes or less because it's like, look, I got time for this. I'll catch. And I've found, because I've taught permaculture at PDCs since 96. Like I've been doing this for a while. And I found the format of a 10-day intensive or a 2-week intensive where it's, 10 days of material that you're, it was drinking out of a fire hose. And I remember, you know, the fifth day or the sixth day asking people, so what did we see yesterday? And they're like, I don't have time to digest. And when you're teaching, why are courses structured, you know, usually an hour, or a lab is 3 hours? Well, what you saw in the course, now apply it for 3 hours in the lab. Because if you give too much, then too much of it, just you can't absorb it all. So breaking it down so that you can really take time mostly to digest. You have to digest what you eat. You know what the Bible says, ruminating, meditate on the word. You shall meditate on the word. Well, that if you go back, that meditating is an example of a cow chewing its cud. And it's like, what does a cow do? Well, it took on a whole wad of grass, swallows it. Now it lays down to ruminate. And that's the meditate. You take that now, boop, you bring it back up. You chew on it for a while. You swallow it again. Now you've gotten some more out of it. You bring it up. It's usually a four-chamber stomach. So it's four times they bring up something. And that's what you really want. You want to get something, and then you want to be able to chew on it for a while. So don't, you know, like you did, because you have experience on it. That's the difference. You've already pruned. So I didn't know that part. This I got. I got that from the other videos or whatever. So you're filling in the pieces that are missing. But if you start off new, the point is with the online course is, look, take it at your pace. We've seen people taking over 6 months to go through it, because it's like, whoa, that's a lot. And as you say, a lot of times you'll go, I really need to, that was a lot there. I got to rewatch that. And the course, I mean, the film, people were, you know, there's somebody had said, I'm told that it's my Apple movie. It was an Apple movie. Well, because the person that was always about apple trees for them. And it was just rewatching the movie. Because you're trying, I missed that one that time. I missed that one. And so get it at a pace that you can digest. And, thank you for that is the observation for a lot of people. But, yeah, that's what we tried. And I did try to summarize. This is everything I've learned. And you haven't even gotten to the allies part, which was basically almost 10 years of my life was dealing with wildlife. And that's why I put so much importance on allies, or any, you know, the insects and the birds and any of the other animals that are really there to help us. And so there's a lot there.
That's why going through that course, I'm like, good night. In this masterclass bundle, you got 11 different sections here. And I think the price is fantastic. I've spent way more. I mean, just for a soils course alone, that I've done in the past by probably one of the best in the world was about $5,000. You're half that. And honestly, I would have paid easily twice as much and would have been grateful, because if I account my time as a farmer, as Joel Salatin always says, you know, one of the biggest things homesteaders and farmers fail to do is accounting for the amount of time you have to spend to do that task. Just by doing the pruning the way you teach alone, and having done it for years now, it has made all the difference in the world with how much time I need to spend on that. And I'm like, okay, let me do the audit of this time. And I am so far ahead that I probably owe you money, because the truth of it is, it has saved me a bundle. Here's what I don't get with a lot of the homesteaders that I've met out there, is that, okay, they get a piece of land, they go out there, they make enormous amounts of mistakes, just as I did further on. And very seldom do any of them ever seek any instruction, because the majority response that I've from the festivals and the other things that I'm asked to speak at, the number one response is, well, I can't seem to afford it. But I'm like, okay, you're driving a brand new truck out here. Maybe your priorities are a little misplaced. Because if this is the lifestyle you choose, maybe having an $80,000 pickup truck, and Joel, I mean, people like Joel Salatin have talked about it, Greg Judy have talked about it, then maybe your expenditure of money is misplaced. I would rather spend that money on the education, which is making me money down the line, as you have.
And you'll always have it.
Yes.
Like you'll always, once it's internalized going forward, like if you've saved time with it, because time is actually the most valuable thing. If you save time going forward, like you say, for your orchard, it'll be exciting to see, because once you've set it up right, you've trained the trees right, man, going forward, it will be that resilient part where you could go for 6 months and come back and wow, this is a lot better.
Well, we've actually done that with some of your work from early on. It was years ago, not long after that permaculture movie came out. I no longer own that property, so I can't exactly roll in out there. But we did something of a control experiment. We pruned these trees the way you said, and then we left another ones that we did absolutely nothing. The growth, every single metric of how you would say, hey, this is a tree I want or one that I don't. Man, I truly wish I had access to that property, because we did side-by-side comparisons. We just didn't have a YouTube channel, or we had been in this lifestyle long before there was, you know, a YouTube. So we had done a side-by-side comparison, and it was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it works this well. And honestly, your work has been so impactful on me. Sorry to do something, man, sorry to be something of a fanboy here, but if you only knew how many gifts I've made of that permaculture orchard movie to, there was a guy in Texas by the name of Jody, wanted to learn this stuff. I had started, believe it or not, on a construction site. It was a permanent construction site where they built certain things. I was an inspector there, and I talked them into allowing me a piece of property just outside the place. And I even, some of my first YouTube videos, that's exactly what we did. So I had a permaculture orchard going on land I didn't even own. I even had chickens out there, was about to put sheep out there as well. And then we moved, you know, but there's so many things that I got from you. And now all the people on that job, we're talking like 120 guys at that time, were all like, unbelievable. Hey man, so if you're a person looking to have a little side gig doing work, they're like, hey, can you come to my place? I got all these different trees over there. Can you show me how to do this? There were people on the job that now all of a sudden, based on what I created on land that wasn't even mine on a job site, it became, instead of football and whatever they were doing at the lake that weekend, now the topic of discussion was, hey, I'm going to be the first one to eat that peach that's coming off that tree. Or there were arguments over, hey, look how quick, can you teach me this? I have probably given away more copies of that permaculture orchard video than maybe anybody else out there. And that is the kind of, that's the kind of legacy you've created. And it made it to me. It made my life easier. And honestly, I'm not going to give it to you, but I probably owe you money. So.
Well, I would say just pass on those legal plum trees, because those going forward, once you, like, you have to test it, you'll see how well they do in your region, and you will have pups. It's kind of like a banana tree, you know, you'll have suckers that will be that Mount Royal plum. Man, when Michelle got a chance, it's too bad that, you know, you guys were just after the period, but
yeah, I got robbed on that deal, but she's been talking about it ever since.
And you'll wait probably 4 or 5 years before they fruit, because but your soil is so much better, so they may settle in and get going faster. But those things, I mean, the amount of people have told me, you ruined plums for me. Well, why? Because we've lost the wow. We really have lost the wow. Like when people come in, and I know this is the weekend, they're ripe, and I'll tell them in the email, I'll say, you know, if you just want to try, don't miss this weekend. And we get, you know, big turnout. And I say, just eat all you want. Like, don't, I'm not counting, hey, if you did you eat you know, 3 pounds of plums, go ahead. It's $4 a pound. Eat as much until you burp, and then eat more. That's my goal. Because I know that when they get those plums at that stage, every other plum will be compared to it. And when you said, you know, that job site, the same thing. That peach tree wasn't sprayed, wasn't, you know, fertilized synthetically, it's getting whatever. And often, oddly enough, you'll learn that in the soil course, but oddly enough, a job site or a site that's had a lot of disturbance can be the best tasting because the mineral rich and a lot of rock dust and a lot of ground up rock. Like, you know, if you happen to be downhill from a gravel parking lot and it rains and you got all this like milk colored water coming down, that's gold. Really, you know, spread that out because that will long-term create the taste. And, you know, the French call it terroir. A terroir comes from the taste of the soil because each soil has taste. And so the more minerals you have, the more that fruit will, you know, will have absolute taste. And, you know, that's, thank you for that. I mean, that's really what my aim has always been. I want people to discover, you know, I have room for, you know, one fruit tree or two fruit trees. Do it. Apply it, try it. You don't have to buy the course is really intended for people who really want to have, like, I consider 50 trees or more. You know, if you have room for 5 or 10 trees, then get maybe at least the pruning course, because that will long term really get your trees set up. But it's meant to be for, like, there's pieces for everyone. I mean, like, selecting your site, gosh, if you're looking for a site, just get that one. I mean, it will say, because a lot of people move on to a site and realize then that I want to do this. Well, that's not the right site. And so the whole thing about selecting a site is so important. You haven't even touched on magic model. That is one that through teaching, through trying to train people how to design, because I got a master's in landscape architecture. So I've learned and I was teaching design for years, but I didn't never found a good way to teach design. And it was just through trial and error of trying things. And I came upon the magic model. I call it the magic. It's absolutely transformed that so many people, I mean, people who say, oh, I'm terrible with this. And they'd say, and the whole goal of that course is to democratize design. Not it's design, you know, that's for the professionals. No, if you've ever gone on vacation, you've probably gone through the design process because you've had to think, where do I want to go? How much do I have that I can spend? And that's the criteria. And then how you bring it about using the model is it's transformative because it's 3D. That one is fantastic. I mean, they're all fantastic because I know when you would need them. And that's why we kind of structure them 3 in the beginning, 3 in the middle, and 3 at the end, or 4 in some places. But the maintenance course, if you already have trees, oh my gosh, that one is, it's, and like I say, I never find that I make money through maintenance. It's always, maintenance is a cost. So my focus has been, if there's one thing I've been almost a maniac about is, how can I do this faster? And for faster, I don't mean I want to get it in 20%. No, I'm looking 10 times faster. Well, if you're thinking, wait a minute, 20% versus 10 times, you can't think of that problem the same way. You have to completely look at it differently. So that's how I've gone through and looking at, how can I not do this? How can I avoid doing this? How can I save doing this? Because time is money. Like, we've got it down. You saw the orchard, and it was a banger year this year. I mean, it was a massive crop, and we spent a half a day a week on average maintaining this year. And that includes probably the biggest part was mowing and the garden. But that's the goal, is not to, unless it's for you, and you can still be entertained doing it. You can always find things you want to just putter around, but the essential, get the main things done. And like, I don't work at the pace that I did when I was, you know, 35. I work at a different pace now, and I still get it done because I've set it up to be so low maintenance.
It's astonishing. I can't even wait. The reason why I jumped ahead and did the pruning course, I'm like, okay, it's time for me to prune. So I'm going to start here, and then I'm going to backtrack. And then I got an idea here. It just occurred to me that as I go through your master course, maybe we get you back on the show and then maybe provide something of a synopsis and what I got out of it. And I was so blown away with just the pruning course alone. And I paid for all your other courses. And I was like, I don't understand how this is going to be any better, but good night. Every single thing about how that's structured is structured in a way that you don't forget it, or it's easy to reference if you have to go back to it. It's just a masterfully done course. And as I'm looking at it here online, unless the prices have changed, I believe each course in and of itself is $287 bucks American. And then the entire course is $24.97, which honestly, I think is grossly underpriced for what you get out of there. For what, I'll put it this way, for the pruning course alone, do you have any idea how much money I've spent for people that taught me improperly? How many trees that are probably dead right there in the middle of that orchard because of foolishness that I learned from somebody who's just given me this, okay, you know, let me look at it and let me, no. You have a methodology where you start from base one. Okay, let's examine this thing. Okay, LBL, clear the chimney. Little simple things that you just put in a bite-sized thing to where you could even create a little checklist for yourself that's very, very simple. Okay, did I examine it two different ways? Okay, which branches do I want to keep?
Am I safe?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's not forget that. Let's not forget that part. I mean, there's probably many people in an early grave because they went after something they shouldn't. But you're absolutely correct. I mean, and honestly and truthfully, there's a lot of the stuff you cover in the safety thing that, if I'm honest, I've completely neglected so many different times, like eye protection. You know, you don't get those back. I could probably get around with one arm, but it's going to be really tough to get around with without a couple of eyes having to feel these trees out like Braille. But you cover every single bit of it from a person who's been at this, you know, permaculture game for a long time like me, or somebody just coming right out of, you know. And that's another thing I want to hit on, Stefan, is that Joel, his latest book is called, what is it? The Homestead Tsunami. We have record numbers of people that are getting into this space right now. And I'm, you know, a lot of people like me have reached out for consultations, which I no longer do. My son does that sort of thing. Eric Sider does that sort of thing. The number one problem that I see with so many people is that they do too many things too quickly. They say chickens are the gateway drug. Well, I tend to think that gardening is more the gateway drug to get into this. And people forget about perennial systems, trees and things like that. The gift that keeps on giving after you get it going. There's a lot of people getting into, with the state of the world being what it is, getting into preparedness in record numbers. All these, we are seeing literally a tsunami of people getting into this space. And that is why, look, folks, I get absolutely nothing. There is no financial incentive for me to have Stefan on here and tell you about his course. I'm telling you because I care, and this is the best money you will ever spend, I think, on your education into this. But one of the biggest problems I see with people getting into this space, they do too much too early, too much, get too many animals, start right off. Do you have a list or maybe a few items or maybe some pitfalls that people should avoid right off the bat getting into this, whether it's pruning, whether it's permaculture? What advice would you give to those people that are just starting out?
I always look at it. It depends on where you're at. That's why we divided the masterclass into three parts. It's meant to be first part for people who they're learning, they're just inquiring, they're checking things out, they're thinking about it. There's like really important things to know that stage. And then those who've already bought land. And unfortunately, and I used to do a lot more, I hardly do any more consulting, but people buy, and I'm buying. And then they say, okay, I want to put, and you're like, you know what? Sometimes I've just said, how deep into this are you? Because this isn't an orchard site. Like you bought it, a lot of times you bought it for the property in the house, or you bought it for the buildings. And so that's where you, and I have a checklist, a fantastic checklist for before you buy, here's things to consider, because so many things like water. I mean, do you is there water there? Is it good water? Like, do you have to dig? Is it going to cost you $5,000 to dig an artesian well to get water? Like, there's things to think about that can completely transform the economics of what you're looking at. Oh, and yeah, I want to put in an orchard. Yeah, but you don't have a source of water, but okay. You're in an area that, at least in the beginning few years, you may need to irrigate. Do you have enough water volume? I mean, there's so many things depending on what stage you're at. People who have trees already and they prune them already. And look, I hope everybody realizes you have to get comfortable with mistakes, though. Because even if you follow through all the masterclass, you're still going to make some mistakes. It's not like you can take a cookie cutter here and it absolutely everything is 100% the same. No, that permaculture is all about context. And you've got to understand your context. You got to understand, well, what have I got? And so I guess when you said, you know, where to start, I would actually kind of start for many people in observation, because observation is so lacking. I was really fortunate. I mean, I grew up hunting and fishing. That was for 15 years of my life. That was everything I did. And then I studied biology. I got a bachelor's in wildlife management and actually a master's in animal behavior. And I was in your part of the woods, Billy. I was at Manamiskee National Wildlife Refuge. And that was incredible. I spent 500 hours up in a tower just observing, 8 hours a day for 3 months. And when, like I said, with the guy, you know, drawing the trees, Dr. Lespinasse, you know, if you really focus on something for long enough and apply yourself, you'll learn how to learn that. And so I was really fortunate because I did learn how to observe. I can walk somewhere and I can sense something or I can see something. I'm using all six senses when I'm walking around. My wife says I'm terrible at observing. And I agree, because what I observe is everything in the natural world. Like, she'll say, no, I didn't see that. Like, everything relating to people, I'm sorry. I don't even know what color that person's hair is, you know? So it's where you apply your attention. For me, the attention is, that bug. Hey, why is it there? It's moving. Why is it? Where is it going? What is it doing? And so observation, if you can get that early on, and I always found, and I've taught people at all levels, from professionals to people who are absolutely haven't even started. I always find I can take someone who's never done something. They're newbies, completely haven't started. I can get them from 0 to 60 faster than I can get someone who's a professional to 60.
Mm.
And that was, to me, that was a big thing. Now, I remember first years ago, I went to France for 7 years doing trainings there, France, Belgium, Sweden, and Switzerland. And I remember we did a lot of courses for professionals, and I was like, man. Then I learned and I realized that, you know what, someone who's done something, like if I were to try to tell you something about electricity that I knew you probably didn't know, I'd have a harder time teaching you that.
Mm.
Because if you know, then you have to partly, and especially for the permaculture orchard, I mean, it's completely the other end of the spectrum on trees. So if you have to unlearn to then relearn. So it's like you've gone in the direction. You have to back up to get to the foundation of that knowledge to then go in a different direction. It's way longer than someone who's already at the foundation. They learn that and then they go. So it's weird, but it's truthful. So people who don't know about these things, who say, oh, yeah, I'd like to and I don't know. Listen, you'll get there way faster if you get the right foundation. Then if I learned everything on the fly, well, a lot of things on the fly, just trial and error. And you could, and absolutely, I did all of this really before YouTube. And YouTube has been fantastic because if I don't know how to do something, I'll just look it up. And I look up at least three teachers about it, because you do want to get different perspectives so that you can go, oh, see, the reason you could value the course so much is because you've done a lot of courses. Someone goes, oh, I don't know. Well, you don't know because you haven't done, you know, look at all my videos. Geez, I don't know. There's 150 YouTube videos. Look at all that. Get the film. You know, start with that. It doesn't have to be expensive, but the course, we set up the master. I did it for me. If I were to go back 30 years, that's what I would have liked. That's how I did the course. I said, okay, someone like me, I remember telling the real estate agent, what's a rootstock? I mean, I was a biologist, but I didn't know about growing trees or anything. And then we bought this 4,000 tree conventional apple orchard that we converted to organic. And we did the whole organic thing, you know, almost 15 years, and then tore it out to restart. Like, that was, it's a lot of learning. I learned about growing it, you know, the way the commercials say, because if you want to do it organically. And that's why now I did it. Wow. If I had this course when I started, I would have saved 15 years easy, because it was that two steps forward, three steps back, four steps back. So much of it was just, and I'm not saying you will absolutely make mistakes. And that's normal because you're learning it in your context and in your situation. But man, it absolutely is. I would have loved to have had it. That's why I did it. It's like, man, I would have loved to have that, you know, to have that when I started. And so now it's like what I learned in 30 years, boy, most people, if you're a good student, if you really learn and do, learn and apply, learn and try, I think a lot of people will be further than I am in 5 years.
Well, it's a poor, like Da Vinci said, it's a poor sort of pupil that does not surpass his master. You know, just with my son in this space, he's beyond me on certain things. And unlike me, just like you said a moment ago, there wasn't this, you know, I learned the wrong way about how to do things. And this is why in regenerative agriculture, especially when it comes to animal rearing and things like that, people that have been doing it the old fashioned way, like Greg Judy calls it, the Columbus method, where you put your cows out there and then you go find them in the spring, you know, they got to undo all of that, that bad stuff just to put in the right thing. And it's exactly what I had to do when I first came across your work. So yeah, there is a tactical advantage really to just being into this space and not having to undo the bad thing. Yes. It's like in the military, women almost always outshoot the men because men grew up shooting and they learned all the wrong ways to shoot. So when women show up, oh, it's a big ego check for a lot of guys out there on that range, because women are hitting 40 out of 40 targets and guys are like, oh yeah, well, you just got lucky. No, they didn't have to undo the bad things. And that's the beauty of your course, where you don't have to do that right off. And folks, I'm going to tell you, hey, open admission, Stefan, I thought rootstock was something you bought on Wall Street before I came across your work, you know, for the most part. Folks, I mean, it's been we're going on an hour here, but we got to have you back. I was thinking maybe as I get through each one of these courses, as your time allows, maybe we can get you back on here, because we haven't had a chance to cover any questions right now. And I know there's a ton of them out there. So maybe we can get you back as often as possible. Is there anything you'd like to leave with the folks?
Well, you had mentioned that you'd want to do like a little synopsis. Give me your little synopsis, because you did it pretty intensely. You did the course pretty boom, boom, boom. What's your synopsis in terms of these were things? What were your biggest ahas?
Well, having already done your training before in different modalities, there was a lot of it that I knew already. One of the biggest aha for me was, okay, hey, Billy, you kind of screwed up with all those pairs out there. You trained them below horizontal when you should have had them parallel. That was a big aha for me. How to deal with suckers. You went into much greater detail in this. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I learned it from someone else before, but somehow I've forgotten about that as far as turning them over. And then other big ahas in this thing, good night, was having learned this stuff. I have a pretty good memory, especially if it's something I really want to remember, but I was embarrassed at how much I had forgotten concerning what makes up a chimney, or, you know, I'd somehow been forgetting about that part. And then the other things are things, to me, it's like riding a bike that I won't forget, that I didn't forget from your first teachings. And that was, you know, low, big, and then liner lane. Those are profound. Do you want a tree or a fruit tree? Do you want a, there were so many aha moments that I think other people are going to get that weren't necessary. Now, when I first learned about you from right off, that was when the biggest aha moment was, because I was like, you got to be kidding me. There's a systematic approach to this. I had no idea, because everybody I'd ever trained under, it was conflicting information. Nobody told you anything that worked. And then when I came across your work, the biggest aha was when I was at my former place in Texas. And I did that, like I described before, I did what you said, did even the training and everything, and then had a control of three trees that I did nothing with. And I wasn't on YouTube back then. That putting my hands, putting foot to butt with the information you provide was by far the biggest aha moment for me, was because I'm literally looking at trees that are doing, that are producing much faster than the other ones, trees that I'm not having to prune again because it's already been done. That was the biggest, everything about your work has been a massive aha moment. And I got to say, one of the biggest honors of my life so far in this space has, I never in a million years thought I'd actually get to see your place beyond the virtual tour that you offered. And the reason why was, I'm like, man, this guy, he's impossible to get a hold of. He's got to be super busy. Everybody and a great grandmother's wanting to see him. And then when I get up there and you had a course going at the same time, and I'll tell you, one of the biggest ahas for me and my wife, Michelle, as well, is when we're sitting here talking with folks that came all the way from France to just have 1 hour with you. And that floored me. And yeah, it's, I know you'll never say this about yourself, but you have been an enormous blessing and influence in the life of me, my wife, my son, and all the other people that I've been able to turn on to your work out there. That's, it's all been one giant eureka moment for me. But as far as this course, there's not a part of it that was wasted time. And that's what I, more than anything, with a lot of these online courses, you'll find out that they're just putting in a bunch of filler to pass the time, to justify the cost of the course. Well, anybody doing that course is going to be like, oh, yawn, yawn, yawn. Can we get to it already? Not once did that happen for me. And I've already been through your courses prior to this, and even had the awesome time of being able to spend with you up there. And even there, I'm having these giant eureka moments all the way through this course. So no, I mean, it is a blessing. This course is a blessing. And as I said, folks, there is no, I get no financial benefit out of having him on this show or promoting it. Every time I come across something that is absolutely profound, I let you know about it. And this is one of the best, without a doubt. So
thank you. Yeah.
What would you like to leave the folks with out there, Stephen? I mean, folks, you don't know the honor of being able to have him on right now. To be on here right now with the pimp daddy of pruning himself, and to be able to share them with you out there, and folks, you have no idea how awesome it is. So, yeah, what would you like to tell folks on the way out, Stefan?
Well, you know how it is. Whatever you're transmitting, it's not like, oh, it was all. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. A lot of it is, you've heard this piece here and that piece there. But I had that same reaction when we did that 1 week course in 2009. I had gone from, this is confusing, to, wow, why didn't anybody? Well, yeah, nobody had. It's so one, like, I thought this, everybody's got to know this. So that's why, well, the reason for the pruning course, you know, you can look it up if you don't remember, just at pruningcourse.com. It'll take you to the masterclass course. But it, if anybody wants to just start somewhere, starting with that, because it will absolutely transform your trees for the long term for the better. And it's an opening, because once you get interested in that, maybe you'll want to know about why we're getting the bugs. Maybe you'll want to understand, why is my soil not the, I, like, to me, it's just, anywhere you start with the YouTube videos. I don't care. Like, I don't need the extra money. We're doing fine, but I know that I did it because I know I wished I had had that. And I know that if you have it, boy, how that, like, not having to learn, the just go. And like you're doing, and you're a great example of it, you're learning something, you're applying it, and you're showing it. Like, learn one, do one, teach one. It's that medical school, you know, approach, or Socratic, I think, you know, it's really that. And you're doing it, all of them. You're learning them, you're doing them, and then you're teaching people. That's really all I can ask. I mean, that's the ultimate.
Folks, I know a lot of you had the questions out there. I'm sorry we got through it, but we're well past the hour that we're supposed to go. Stephen, I want to thank you for the unbelievable gift of time. Like I said, we're going to have you. You're welcome here anytime you want, but I would love to have you back as I progress through this master course. And I want to get you back on and, you know, scream it from the rooftops, because what I've learned so far in the pruning course is worth every single dime out there, y'all. All right, so I'm going to link all of his stuff down below. You're going to be glad you checked him out. His YouTube channel is unbelievable, very well produced. It's one of those rare YouTube channels that is extremely well produced, and the information is absolutely positively top-notch. Go over there, subscribe, get his courses. You're going to be glad you did. Till next time, y'all, stay wrong button. But yeah, that's exactly how we ought to feel right now. So I don't have my technical advisor in here right now, but it is what it is. Till next time, y'all, stay alert, stay alive. They don't want an individual, just a carbon copy. You sitting at Manicotti, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spill me, but the center of the next is me. They want me to battle. But I'm a warrior, I'm a warrior. I will never bow down, cause I'm a warrior. They want me to bow down, but I'm a warrior, I'm a warrior.